Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. Please turn your white handouts to Psalm 139. And we're going to be using only our white handouts tonight, so make sure you have one. So Psalms 139 in your handout. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. For they speak against thee wickedly. For they speak against thee wickedly. And thine enemies take thy name in vain. And thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them that hate thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. I count them mine enemies. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Amen. Pastor Shelley, would you open us in prayer? Amen. For our next song, please turn to Psalm 67 in the white handout. Psalm number 67 in your white handout.
God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. The nations upon earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Amen.
Good evening. Thank you so much for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you still need a bulletin, they're back on that cabinet. And then also we have on the inside our announcements, our service times, our soul winning times. Did we get a count for this afternoon? Three. So praise the Lord on that. And then also we have the congratulations to Matt and Rochelle Hill on the birth of their son, Elliot John Hill. And he was born the 24th, 7 pounds, 5 ounces, 19 inches. So congratulations to them. Also keep the other expecting mothers in your prayers. We have our Bible memory, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And then on the right, we have a special prize if you can memorize Romans 1 as well. So extra Bible memory there if you'd like to participate. We also have the wedding for Zach and Madison. I think I saw they're handing out some really nice invites, and so that's really exciting, and it's going to come sooner than you think, and that'll be great. Also, we have the Shreveport, Louisiana Soul Winning Marathon, September 11th, and then we have the Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship. I put a bunch of those DVDs also, our Sodomite Deception DVDs are out there, so feel free to hand those out liberally. And we have several hundred of them already here, and I can always get you more. So, really exciting to have that into our possession so we can hand out. And also, we had a lunch, but we had so much food left over that if you want to stick around for round two, we got so many sandwiches and stuff, we'll grab some extra chips or something. And so feel free to participate. I think there's a lot of cupcakes, too. So I think we went round one cake. Now it's round two cupcakes. And so, you know, hey, showers of blessing, right? Showers of blessing. And so really great to see you guys. And looking forward to the next time I come. But I'm not going to come probably between July or August just because of her due date. But then September I will be back, and then normal kind of rotation and normal type of schedule. But if you want to see me in between, then you just got to come to the wedding and then I'll be there. And that's the better sermon anyways, way shorter. So, you know, maybe I'll make them sweat it out, you know, make them take a little while. No, I'm just kidding. But it's really great to be here and see you guys, and the church is doing really well. And so that really makes me feel good to go back home and report. We didn't have any protesters, but you know, you got to come down south, I guess, if you want that. But let's go to our third song, Psalms 126. Oh, yeah, and the kids' choir. I mean, I'm envious that I won't be able to hear that next Sunday. So that was sounding really good. So Psalm 126.
Psalms 126. And I can vouch from recent experience, Pastor Shelley does a great wedding ceremony. So be there for that. So Psalms 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Amen. Great singing this evening.
While the offering plates are being passed around, please turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5.
Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians 5, the Bible reads, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it be not once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for this day, Lord. We thank you for the souls that were won. Just pray that you'd be with them. And Lord, I just at this time pray you'd be with Pastor Shelley and fill him with your Spirit. And just, Lord, I just pray that you'd open our hearts and our ears, that we might be edified in your word, and we give you thanks in all things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Let's look back at verse number 18, where the Bible read again, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And the The title of my sermon this evening is this: Benefits of Singing Psalms. Benefits of Singing Psalms. And we have a real clear passage here where the Bible's telling us in the New Testament to speak to ourselves specifically in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and then it's giving us the admonition to be singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And I have three simple benefits that I want to kind of talk about that the Bible clearly tells us. But the first one is mentioned here very clearly in verse 18 is being filled with the Spirit. We actually fill ourselves with the Spirit of God by singing. And it brings up a few different ways you could be singers or types of songs, kind of genre or styles. You kind of have a psalm, you kind of have a hymn, and then you kind of have this other delineation called a spiritual song. Now, what's interesting about verse 18 is, you know, when it says be not drunk with wine, most of the time when I have thought about this verse or looked at this verse, I typically think of it in the context of alcohol. I think of it as being an intoxicating beverage. But, you know, the word wine is really dependent upon the context of a chapter for you to really get the clear indication. Obviously, you shouldn't get drunk in the sense that we say today. Obviously, drinking alcohol, according to the Bible, is just always wrong. And a lot of people that like to drink alcohol look at this verse and they try to put alcohol in here because it says in the next section, wherein is excess. Because they say, oh, well, we don't drink alcohol in excess. And that's kind of like their way to kind of wiggle out of the idea of never drinking alcohol. But I actually think that this verse is makes more sense if you put it in the context of wine not being alcoholic here. Because wine in another context is a picture of indulgence or a picture of luxury or a picture of kind of satisfying the flesh. And there's nothing wrong with drinking wine. But you don't really necessarily, being drunk just means to be completely filled. Okay? In the Bible, when we think of the word drunk, we only think of being inebriated and not sober. But to be drunk could just mean simply filled. And so I think the context and the contrast that it's really trying to make is, you know, don't fill yourself on the things of this world. Don't fill yourself on the luxuries of this world. Rather, we should try to fill ourselves with spiritual things. And when it comes to our lives, you know, it's easy to overindulge the flesh. It's easy to overindulge yourself with food or with the music or the world, all the things there is to enjoy in this world. But really, we're supposed to try and overindulge on the Word of God. We're supposed to fill ourselves. We're supposed to get to a point where we're just brimming with the Word of God. And what would be a way to kind of fill yourself is, in my mind, singing the Word of God too. Because a lot of people, they sing all day long. But what are they singing? They're singing Metallica. They're singing John Lennon. They're singing the Beatles. They're singing, I don't know, what's the modern? What are modern people? Justin Timberlake? He's probably not modern anymore. I don't know. What are the cool bands today? Fergie, is she still popular? I don't know. This is like 90s and late early 2000s or something. I'm dating myself. I know them, I just can't think of them. Who is it? Kanye West. Yeah, he's gone like pseudo-Christian, right? No one wants to listen to that trash anymore. You know, what was the Spice Girls, the one that married David Beckham? Posh Spice or something? Victoria Spice or something? I don't know. It doesn't matter. But I'm just saying, like, people listen to music all the time. You go to the store, you go to the restaurant, what are people doing in their car? They're pretty much just listening to music. And they're really just filling themselves with what? With the world. And so I believe the Bible actually teaches the opposite, that we should be filling ourselves with the Word of God. And one of the best ways to fill ourselves with the Word of God is to sing the Word of God. And that's why the Bible has one of the greatest books called Psalms, which is literally a songbook just filled with all kinds of songs that we can sing to God. And I feel like Christians have really kind of let this doctrine or this benefit go to the wayside because very few churches today are singing any psalms. I mean, very few churches will take the psalms and literally try to put it to music and try to sing it. But the Bible's telling us that that's one of the ways to fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit of God. And when you think about being filled with something, it's not that you don't, if you're not filled, that doesn't mean you don't have it. It's just filled is like completion or having more or going to the upper limit of something, right? And so when it comes to the Holy Ghost, we all have the Holy Ghost inside of us if we're saved. We all have the Spirit of God. But being filled is a lot more than just having it. You know, in my mind, I want God to be able to communicate everything he possibly can to me. And the book of the Bible, the Psalms, it contains every doctrine. I mean, it contains all the wisdom that God has for us. It contains comfort. contains exhortation. It contains, you know, rebuke. It contains, you know, all of the different ranges of emotions and these things. And when we're filled with the Spirit of God, you know, it's allowing the Holy Ghost to communicate to us and to talk to us through the Word of God and to bring revelations into our mind, put us in the right attitude, put us in the right spirit. And really, if we want to have victory in our life, it's going to come through, you know, the Word of God and being filled with that Spirit. Now, go over to Psalms 105 for a moment. Go to Psalms 105. I want to show you a few other places in the Bible where it literally just tells us to sing psalms. And, you know, I believe that the Bible is a timeless book. So it's not like, well, that was for them. Back then they sing the psalms. Today we sing Chris Tomlin. You know, today we sing, you know, whatever the modern Christian Hillsong. You know, no, I think we should still be singing the psalms. We should still be singing this. And when he gave you the three different lists, he gave you psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Now, you have a hymnal, you know, in your chair. And really, what would be the biggest difference between a hymn and a psalm? Well, for me, I don't really look at it from a style as being very much different. You know, I try to make sure even the psalms that we sing, we kind of stylistically, they sound like a hymn. They sound like some of the other songs that we have. But really, a hymn is not like a direct pull from psalms. It's really just taking either random verses in the Bible that kind of all are on the same topic, idea, and kind of bringing them to life into a song. But it's not always necessarily verbatim quotes. Sometimes it is. But that's kind of what a hymn is. A hymn is just kind of, you know, taking a good doctrine, taking a good thought, taking a few verses, taking a phrase, and kind of running with it and putting it together. And that's kind of a song that you have. That's what we have in our hymnal. You look at our hymnal, I mean, pretty much all of them are based directly on Scripture. Or you have phrases directly pulled out from Scripture, but they're not necessarily just coming from Psalms. They'll be coming from Romans, or they'll be coming from John, or they'll be coming from 1 Timothy even. You know, I know whom I have believed in, you know, and that he is able. I mean, that's pulling from the pastoral epistles. And so you have all kinds of different other places in Scripture that are being put to music. And, you know, that's kind of what I look at the difference between a psalm, you got a hymn, and then you kind of have spiritual songs. Now, modern Christianity really tries to run wild with this spiritual song section. You know, to me, if it is a spiritual song, though, it's not going to appeal to the flesh necessarily. And in order for it to be spiritual, it's kind of got to still contain Scripture. It's got to contain the Word of God. I look at this as being, you know, songs where they're not necessarily the exact same style as a hymn, but they're still arguably a spiritual song. It's not like, you know, something that the world would really be that interested in. It's not something that's going to appeal to the flesh that much, but it's still a spiritual song. What would be a song like this? Like the B-I-B-L-E. You know, the B-I-B-L-E is not really a hymn. It's definitely not the Psalms, but isn't it still a spiritual song you can sing? And my kids love singing these type of songs. You know, a lot of kids' songs, in my mind, are kind of like spiritual songs. You got the B-I-B-L-E. You've got This Little Light of Mine. We love to sing this one with our kids. This Little Light of Mine. I'm going to let it shine. Now, it's still based on what? Clear Scripture. You know, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And, you know, it's based on these principles. You know, the Bible, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. I mean, there's a lot of little kids' songs that are pretty cool. So this is the category of spiritual songs that I would say. Now, I'm not going to say it has to be a kid's song, but I'm just kind of saying that's what I envision as a spiritual song. Because is the world going to sing B-I-B-L-E? No. They're not going to be singing This Little Light of Mine and B-I-B-L-E. It's still generally a spiritual song. Whereas modern Christianity, they try to create a song where a person that doesn't even like the Bible would still be willing to sing it. And they make it so vague and just so much like, I love you and you love me and I just embrace your grace or whatever. And it's like anybody can sing that. You know, you don't even have to be, you could be a Muslim and sing that. But that's not really a spiritual song, okay? Now, when it comes to these three categories, I personally believe from a doctrinal perspective, though, that they're not equal. I believe that the Psalms are superior because the Psalms are just directly just taken out of the Word of God. I mean, you just got it straight here in the Word of God. So that's going to be the number one doctrinally superior song choice if I get to choose them. Second would be hymns, and third would be spiritual songs based on just the doctrinal integrity of them. And really, it's important to sing good doctrine. It's important to sing the Word of God because it does something into your brain. You know, a song you can learn so much easier, and it kind of sticks with you. And when you're singing doctrine, it has all these, you know, tangible benefits that the Bible kind of tells us. One is literally being filled with the Spirit. Because if I have it on my tongue and it's something I can sing, then when I'm going through my day or I'm having a hard time, sometimes that song can just kind of come to you. And it's like the Holy Spirit can just sit there and just hit you with the Word of God, and it can change you. It can change your attitude. It can affect your decisions. It can affect your mood and all these things. And it's really just enabling you and helping you be filled with that Spirit. Look what it says in Psalms 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye and his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. And so the Bible literally says in verse 2, sing psalms. Notice the Bible is just telling you again, just like it said in Ephesians chapter number 5, hey, let's sing these psalms. Here it's saying sing psalms. Why? Because God gives you real direct, real clear instruction. Go to Psalm 33 for a moment. Go to Psalm 33. And I also believe this, that the most important thing when it comes to worship is that you are singing. You know, a lot of people go to a big church where they have, you know, professional musicians. And when I say professional, I mean in the sense that a lot of them are even paid. You know, a lot of these big churches, they're literally on staff as a worship leader, and they're playing music. I mean, that's professional in my opinion. If you're getting paid to do something, you're a professional. And so they literally have professional people singing. They have a beautiful voice. They may even be tweaking stuff on the soundboard to make them sound even better. You know, I don't know how to do that. I just probably make it worse. But, you know, they literally have, this is an art. They practice, they're working on these things. And people like to go, and they like to just listen. They like to just go and hear, and it's so loud that nobody even knows if they're singing or not. But see, here's the thing. That's way inferior than you actually singing. And when it comes to glorifying God, God doesn't get all this extra glory and it just sounding good. He gets glory in people just genuinely in their heart believing it and singing it. That's where he actually gets the glory. And so some people might come and they show up, and maybe you don't even have a piano player that day. We're just singing a cappella. But here's the thing, you singing out loud is actually more beneficial for you and to God than having just some great, beautiful sound coming up here and you not singing. And when it's a cappella and it's just here, you're actually sometimes more forced to sing, because if you're not, it's more awkward. I mean, if just I was up here singing, you'd kind of notice a lot easier and it'd be awkward. Whereas you're in a big room with, you know, some people singing, it's easier to blend in by not singing. It's easier to just kind of be a participant, you know, not really participate, but just being an observer or just being a spectator. And look, worshiping God is not a spectator sport. It doesn't make any sense. It's not logical. We're all here to worship God together. And you know, it seems like kids are better at this than adults for some reason. You know, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. I mean, they sing with gusto. They sing with fervor. I mean, even if they don't know the words, I mean, they're just busting it out. And sometimes their words are not the real words. They've made up words to try and interpret the song because they don't even know what it is. They're just saying, but they're so excited and they're singing praise to God. And you know, that's what we should be like. And if you want to get benefit out of the Psalms, you need to sing them. You need to actually enjoy them. And obviously you need to believe them. Obviously, if you just lip service isn't really giving any glory to God. But that's why it's great that we can just pull it straight out of Psalms. And if you believe the Bible, you can have confidence in every verse, every line, everything you're saying. Whereas there's been some hymns at times where I kind of read that verse and I'm thinking, like, I don't know if I completely agree with that one. You know, sometimes the hymns have issues every once in a while. Whereas, look, how could you go wrong singing the psalm? I mean, you shouldn't. Obviously, some people would take offense to Psalm 139, but it's straight out of the Bible. How can you get mad at singing the word of God? And sometimes it actually helps correct us on our attitude. It helps correct us on our viewpoint. It helps us correct on our doctrine. I mean, it'd be really hard. Think about it this way, okay? People don't like us because of the sodomite deception and what we preach or whatever. But wouldn't it be kind of hard for them to get up and preach a whole sermon on how God loves everybody after they just sang Psalm 139? So what does it do? It forces you to even have the right doctrine.
Because it's going to be real hard to get up and preach certain doctrines whenever you're singing the exact opposite right before. So that's why it's really beneficial to sing the doctrine and to sing the Word of God, and that we can all be filled with the Spirit. And then, you know, it helps you preach. You know, sometimes even myself, I show up and I'm not necessarily like in the perfect mood to preach, but actually singing a few songs helps you get in the mood. Why do we sing psalms when we show up here? We all want to be filled with the Spirit. We all want to be filled when we're here to hear the Word of God being preached. We want the preacher to be filled with the Spirit. So it's important to sing these psalms so that we can be filled with that Spirit. Look at Psalm 33, verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. So notice, he's even telling you specifically, use the harp, use the psaltery, use an instrument of 10 strings. You know, singing unto him a new song, playing skillfully and with a loud noise. So notice, God's wanting you to participate. God's wanting you to take this seriously and to put in effort, energy, and playing these things and having joy in your heart. And this is going to help you fill, you know, yourself with the Spirit. Go to Psalms 89 for a second. Go to Psalms 89. And I'm looking at a lot of different psalms here that are literally telling us to sing these things. Look at Psalms 89 and look at verse number 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. So notice, we are individualistically supposed to sing and with our mouths, and we're supposed to do this forever. He's saying, hey, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. You know, I can't force you to sing. And it doesn't say, listen to the beautiful sound. No, it says that you're supposed to sing it, right? We're supposed to sing it because that's going to help you be filled with the Spirit of God. Look at Psalm 96 and look at verse number 2. Psalm 96 and look at verse number 2. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation. Notice this, from day to day. So it's giving you even, hey, you're supposed to sing this forever? Well, how specific? Day to day. Just every day, just singing praises to the Lord, singing psalms to the Lord, and this is going to help you be filled with the Spirit on a regular basis, rather than being filled with the world, rather than being drunken on the pleasures of this world, on the luxuries of this world, being filled with that. Because ultimately, if you're full of anything, what does that also indicate? You don't have room for anything else. You know, if my glass is full, then I don't have room to pour anything else in it. So if I'm full on the world, if I'm full on the things that are carnal, then I don't have room for all these spiritual things. Rather than being filled with spiritual things, now I don't have room for what? Carnal things. So the opposite ends up working out too. And this is going to help you have victory in areas of your life. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now let's get real specific with some examples of being filled with the Spirit and how that benefits God's people. 2 Chronicles, we're going to look at a story here. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. And I want to look at verse number 10 to start with. But this is a time when Jehoshaphat is the king, and they're basically being attacked by multiple groups of armies, okay? They're being attacked by the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and also Ephraim. Okay, and so it says in verse number 10, and now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. I think I said Ephraim, but I meant Edom. Seir is Edom, which is Esau. Okay, so it's basically you have three groups. You have Ammon, Moab, and Edom. Ammon and Moab are the descendants of Lot. Okay, and then you have Seir, which was Edom, which is Esau. So you kind of have the rejects, you kind of have the bastard children, as it were, in a sense, that are here, that are not really the true children of Israel, but they're kind of related, they're kind of kindred. But they've come against the children of Israel, and they're coming against Jehoshaphat. It says in verse 11, behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given to us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and all and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." And so we have this great host coming against the children of Israel, specifically Judah at this time, and we have Jehoshaphat as the king, and we have a Levite saying, well, hey, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He's like, we don't need to worry. You know, the battle's not ours anyways. God's going to fight for us. But what's interesting about this person is it tells us that he's a son of Asaph, okay? Keep your fingers. I'm coming right back to the story, but I want to define this person for you. Just flip the page to chapter 35, 2 Chronicles chapter 35. We have to understand about Asaph is his family is noted as being the singers. They were appointed as the singers by David. And so they're kind of this family. In fact, a lot of the Psalms you'll see, like, at the top, some of the notes, it'll talk about this is from Asaph, or, you know, this is something about Asaph, because he was a mighty singer, and he's, you know, involved with the Psalms. But look at what it says in 2 Chronicles 35, verse 15. And the singers, the sons of Asaph, were in their place according to the commandment of David. So notice, David, at a certain point, had delineated all the Levites into their different positions and all their different, basically, roles, as it were, in serving God. And some of them were designated as being singers. That tells me, I guess, singing can be genetic. So apparently, it's just like this family. But if you're the sons of Asaph, it's kind of picturing the singer. And so, basically, you have a Levite whose primary job and role is singing, praise to the Lord, praising God, you know, dealing with the Psalms. And the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, and he's telling them, hey, guess what? The battle's not ours. It's God's, okay? Verse 16, go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and look at verse 16 now. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and were worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. So they're singing praise to God. They're excited. Look at verse 20, though. And they rose early in the morning and went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And I like how this is worded. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. So notice it's saying, hey, when they started singing, as soon as they started singing, began to sing, then the Lord set ambushments against their enemies. And then let's keep reading what happens to them. It says, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. So they sing songs, they're singing praise to the Lord, and then what happens? The Lord just wins the battle for them. So what gives them the victory? Praising God. What gives them the victory? Singing the Psalms, being filled with the Spirit, and then letting just God fight your battles for you. Isn't that great? That you could just, hey, all I have to do is just sing praise to God, and then he'll just defeat all my enemies for me. That's all they have to do. I mean, you think about other times in the Bible, like Jericho, what do? They just blow the trumpet, and the walls is coming down. I mean, look, God wants us to be filled with the Spirit, and then he'll just give us the victory. You know, a lot of times people, and I think this is a great idea, but they'll sing a couple songs before they go out soul winning. Why? So that the Lord will just go ahead and give you the victory before you even go out. And you'll just find the people that need to hear the gospel right away. Rather than thinking it's by your strength or by your might. It's, you know, the battle's not ours, it's the Lord's. And so just putting our trust and being filled with the Spirit, and that's how God can give us those victories. They had so much victory, they're just constant for 3 days. It says in verse 25 at the end, and they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. So all of them fought each other. Ammon, Moab, and Edom just fight each other and kill all of each other. And then all they do is just walk in and just gather the spoil. They're just walking in and just reaping. Isn't that what we kind of do when we go soul winning sometimes? It feels like you just walk in and you're just reaping. I mean, you're not even really doing a lot of the fighting. You're not doing a lot of the battling. And so that's why it's important that we sing praises to God. Let me show you another example of this. But let's go to Psalms 59, and then I want to show you another example. Go to Psalms 59. But literally, I think sometimes we don't even realize how God wants to fight for us. And you know how we can get him to fight for us is by just singing praises to him. Just glorifying him and thanking him for the victory and what he's going to do for us. Look at Psalms 59 and look at verse number 10. The God of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power and bring them down, O Lord. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride and for cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath. Consume them. They may not be. And let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth, Selah. And at evening, let them return and let them make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat and grudge that they will be not satisfied. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy. Notice this, in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Now, I don't know what they were singing, but wouldn't it be cool if they were singing this? They're sitting here saying like, hey, we're going to sing in the morning and God's going to give us the victory. And, you know, I don't even have to fight. And then it's just like exactly what happens. And so you have to understand there's a spiritual benefit to singing the Psalms and singing praises to the Lord. And notice he says, hey, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. Isn't that what they did? In the morning, as they began to sing, what did the Lord do? He set ambushments against their enemy. And so sometimes, you know, I think we discredit the idea of how God may just fight all your battles for you if you just go ahead and give him praise. But how many times do people wake up and they don't start their day singing to the Lord? They don't start their day singing praises to God and asking him for their favor and trusting the Lord to fight their battles for them. And maybe if you did that more, you'd have less battles you had to fight. You'd have more just rewards that you could take. And you say, well, how do you know that? It takes faith. But I'll show you another example, and not just in the morning. Go to Acts chapter 16 first. Go to Acts chapter 16. But what's some of the benefits of singing psalms? God may just give you the victory without you even having to fight. That sounds great, because I can't beat my enemies necessarily. I don't have the physical strength. I'd rather the Lord just set ambushments against them, and I don't have to do anything. I just know he's going to take care of my enemies for me, and I'll just give him the praise and honor and glory anyway. Acts chapter 16, look at verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Isn't that kind of interesting? Paul and Silas get arrested, thrown in prison for preaching the gospel, and then at midnight, instead of bellyaching about all the trouble that they're going through, what do? They sing praises to God. At midnight, they're praying, they're singing praise, they're praising the Lord. Verse 26, and suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried in a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Now think about this. Isn't this the most receptive guy you've ever found in the Bible? I mean, he's falling down. He's on his knees asking for the gospel. Now, I've had a few people ask something similar. I've never had anybody fall down on their knees begging me how to get saved. And you say, well, how did that happen? They were singing praises to God. Hey, what happens when you sing praises to God? You get filled with the Spirit. Talk about a perfect combo here. hey, I just happened to get filled with the Spirit, and I just happened to have a guy that wants to hear the gospel right away. And so don't discount the idea, hey, the people that are singing psalms to God, the people that are singing praise to God, the people that actually believe, look, and live, you don't think that those are going to be the same people that go out and actually find people that, and then tell them, hey, all you have to do is look and live, brother. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. I mean, we sing that with gusto. Why? So that we can then go out and preach the gospel. But even beyond that, why don't we even sing the Psalms knowing, hey, Psalm 126, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know, getting that in our heart and in our mind as we go out and we're singing and when we're filled with the Spirit, what can God do? He can give us victory. He can give us victory. Go to Psalms 119. What's interesting about this, they sing at midnight. I don't know what they were singing, again. But here's my guess, all right? Psalm 119. Because I showed you my guess for the other one where they sing in the morning. Well, let's look at Psalms 119 and look at verse 62. Psalm 119, verse 62. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Wouldn't that be a pretty cool verse for them to have been singing? At midnight. Because remember, at midnight, Paul and Silas began, what? Singing praise unto the Lord. And then look at the Bible. Look at the Psalms. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Usually it's so I can use the bathroom. But hey, I'm getting older, you know. But here's the thing. Even on your way to the bathroom, just sing and praise the Lord. Hey, when you're in jail at midnight, think about this verse. And maybe God will just open the doors for you. Hey, that's my plan. Go to Colossians chapter number 3. Go to Colossians chapter 3. So point number one is this. Why sing the Psalms? What's the benefits of singing the Psalms? You're filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, all other kind of doors are opened up to you. You know, the possibility to have victory, the possibility to get people saved. Obviously, in the Old Testament, they were literally winning physical battles. But in the New Testament, we're winning spiritual battles like Paul and Silas, where they're preaching the gospel and they're getting people saved. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at another benefit, though, of just singing the Psalms. And some of these seem like real basic, but here's the thing, the Bible is basic. It's not like, you know, the Bible just tells you things that are real simple. I mean, the gospel, it's like the simplest thing ever. Just believe in Jesus, right? And when it comes to singing the Psalms, you just get some real basic benefits, but I think a lot of people are missing out on those benefits. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So here's another benefit, just wisdom. You know, when you're singing the Psalms, you know, these kids in this room, learning all these extra psalms and learning all these extra songs and everything like that, they're going to have so much more good doctrine. I mean, my kids already are starting off way better than I did and having so much better doctrine, so much more wisdom, so much more benefit in their life. And it's going to be hard. I mean, can you imagine if you could literally get to the point where your 18-year-old knew every psalm, could sing every single psalm? How hard would it be to convince them of false doctrine if they knew every psalm? And look, I don't know if we'll get there, but you might as well try. And even if we got to half or something, I mean, that's great. I mean, the more that you can give them, the more that we have to music, the more that we can sing, the more Word of God that we can get into our hearts, the more that we're filled with the Spirit of God, the less we're going to have error, the less we're going to be led astray. You know, wisdom is going to help us perform our daily actions in serving God. Go to Psalm 61 for a moment. Go to Psalm 61. And when you think about the word wisdom, you know, there's a lot of words that are kind of similar, and they have overlap. But I think there is a little bit of distinction between words like wisdom, knowledge, understanding. And while all of them have a little bit of overlap, you know, to me, knowledge is more closely as you know, defined as just having particular information, being familiar with a subject, okay? Because you can have a lot of knowledge and not have understanding or wisdom. Okay, knowledge is simply just having the information. You know, I run into somebody and they can quote to me John 3:16. They may have the knowledge of John 3:16, but then if I ask them, well, what does that mean? and they say, well, you have to be a good person to go to church, you know, and go to church to get saved. They don't really understand the verse, though, do they? Even though they know the verse. And look, there's lots of people that can quote that verse to me, yet they have no idea what it means. That means they lack understanding. Then there could be a second person. There could be a person that knows it. They could explain what it means. They could say, well, what John 3:16 means is if you believe in Jesus Christ, meaning put all your trust in him, he'll give you everlasting life. You could never go to hell. That would be a person that has knowledge and the understanding. But here's the thing. You could have that person still not have wisdom. And you say, how? Because an atheist could tell me that and not believe it. Because wisdom is going beyond knowing it and understanding it. It's also applying it. It's the application of the Word of God. You cannot look at someone that's not applying the knowledge and understanding they have and then still consider them wise. Would we look at someone that has the knowledge of John 3:16, understands John 3:16, but has never done it, and say that person's wise? No. If your kids say, you know, my parents told me not to play in the street because I could get hit by a car, but they're playing in the street, would you say that's wise? No, so here's the thing. Wisdom comes with the actual application of the knowledge and understanding that you have. So you need all three. And when it comes to singing the Psalms, what did it say that it give you? Knowledge, right? It's of that, you know, you're teaching and admonishing. But more importantly, in all wisdom. Meaning what? You're actually going to apply these things into your life. So when you sing it, it helps you in what? Executing God's word. Following God's word. Putting it to practice in your life. It's going to encourage you to do these things because it's hard to be singing things and not. And the opposite is very true. I mean, the world today, they love to listen to certain music to get them in the mood to do something. You know, workout music, right? Or, you know, people want to commit crimes and they listen to what? Rap music that's talking about shooting people and killing people and being a whore or whore. I mean, people put certain music on to put them in the mood to what? Do that particular activity, whatever that activity is. The same can be said with the Psalms by putting you in the right attitude, mood, behavior to then what? Execute God's word in every area of your life. Psalm 61, look at verse 8. So I will sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Notice he's attaching a purpose, a reason to why he's singing. Why would he sing unto the Lord? So that he's going to can daily perform my vows. What would the daily performing of the vows be? Wisdom. So notice you get the benefit of wisdom by singing because it's encouraging you, reminding you, exhorting you to what? End up actually doing it. Teaching and admonishing one another in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's also, you know, when you come to church and you have whoever, you know, 50 people here all singing, going out, preaching the gospel, you know, singing Psalms 126 or singing a particular thing, it's kind of hard then to resist that too, isn't it? Because you're teaching and admonishing one another to do what? Put that information and understanding to use and some wisdom. Get some wisdom today. And, you know, a lot of people are lacking in wisdom. You know, it's not enough to just have the knowledge and understanding. You need to actually do it. Because I'll say this, having all the knowledge and understanding and not doing it is about the same as just not having the knowledge. You know, and you don't want to get so puffed up and be like, well, I understand how to go soul winning. And I know how to go soul winning. Well, do you go? No. You're getting as much done as the guy that doesn't even know what soul winning is. That's why it's so foolish. That's why it's so... You don't want to get this arrogant attitude, well, I go to a soul winning church. Good for you. You know, and our church, we don't want to sit here and be like, well, we understand the Bible better than anybody. Okay, but are we applying better than others? Because who cares if you have all the knowledge in the world? It really cares if you're doing it. Well, I know that we should be singing the Psalms. Yeah, but do you do it? Right? Hey, we've written music to the Psalms. Well, do you sing it? Now, it's more important to actually be doing it. And notice by singing it, it's going to encourage you to do other things. And look, every area of your life. It'll encourage you not to lie, steal, cheat, be carnal, do all these different things. You know, singing the music on a regular basis will kind of put you in the right spirit, in the right frame of mind to then go ahead and live that day for Christ. Go to Psalm 111 for a moment. Psalm 111 and look at verse 10. Psalm 111 and look at verse number 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Notice the psalm is telling us, hey, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Look, when you don't fear God, what's going to motivate you to actually do anything for him? What's going to motivate you to actually follow his commandments and do that which is right? And so that's why it's important to be singing. Hey, and when you're singing this song, isn't that going to kind of help you get in the, like, I need to be fearing God. If I'm not doing right, I'm not really fearing God. And you, that can help you start fearing God. A good understanding of all they that, notice this, do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Now again, there's obviously overlap when it comes to knowledge, understanding, wisdom. Don't you understand things that you do better than if you don't do them too? I mean, someone that's never gone soul winning is going to have a hard time understanding it as well as they could rather than someone that's done it. Okay, so the more you do it, the more you understand it too. So your wisdom can end up, what, giving you more understanding or more knowledge, and they all kind of overlap and have, you know, basically they benefit one another. But I'm just kind of giving you some distinctions between them too. Go to chapter 90, verse 12. Go to chapter 90, verse 12. So here's a couple psalms that help us in the aspect of wisdom, which is what? Applying God's word in our lives. And we really need to apply it even more. And it's great to be singing it because it's going to put you in that attitude. When I notice I'm singing stuff, you know, and I don't really listen to secular music much anymore, but especially when I did all the time. I mean, it definitely would, I know that it affected me. It would affect, you know, certain music would affect how I drive, right? You're listening to certain music, you kind of want to drive a little bit more, you know, aggressive. Or you might want to drive a little bit crazier or whatever. You know, it affects the things that you're doing, the things that you're thinking about, kind of the way that you talk, what you want to do next. And so, you know, if the world can have that effect on me, why would the Word of God not have the same effect on me? And it certainly does. Psalms 90, look at verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So again, you know, the Psalms is going to put life in perspective. The Word of God puts your life in perspective and helps remind you of the fact that, you know, you're not going to be here forever. Pretty soon you're going to blink and it's like you're on your deathbed. And it's going to be like, what did I do? You know, you really want to blink and be on your deathbed and think like, I didn't do anything for God. I never applied any of that wisdom that I, or any of the knowledge or understanding I had. I'm really not wise. Or do you want to blink and be on your deathbed and me thinking like, I'm ready to go. Like it's time to see my Lord and Savior. I'm excited to receive that crown of life. You know, when you're on your deathbed, they can't really threaten you with death anymore. You know, you're like, I'm there. You know, take me home. You know, and in the Apostle Paul and in some of his latest epistles, he's basically, you know, pointing the idea that he's ready to go. Go to James chapter 5. So my last point is this, though, the last benefit I have for you this evening, and it really even comes from Ephesians chapter 5, too, because Ephesians chapter 5, it says, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. So that kind of indicates or pictures the idea of what? Joy. One of the benefits of singing the Psalms is just joy, the melody, being happy. James also gives us a picture here when it comes to singing. Look what it says in James chapter number 5, and let's look at verse number 13. The Bible says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Now, what's merry synonymous with? Being happy, joy. And so notice what the Bible's picturing. It's picturing the idea of what? You get a benefit of joy from singing the psalms. And obviously, it's kind of a both, right? I'm happy, so I sing the psalms, but singing the psalms will also make you happy. It kind of works together. And whenever you are happy, what should you be doing? Singing praises of the God. You should be thanking the Lord for what he's done for you. Go to Psalms 149. I'm going to show you a couple other psalms here. But we should be singing with joy in our hearts to the Lord. Look, we're saved. In my morning sermon, I mean, how many benefits are we going to get when we get to see the Lord? I mean, we get the access to the tree of life. We get that new white raiment. We get that new white stone with the new name written in it. I mean, we're going to be able to sit with God in his throne with Jesus Christ. I mean, all kinds of cool stuff is going to happen. I mean, how could you not have joy when you realize, look, you're a child of God. Nothing can take away his love that he has for you. We're going to get the victory. You know, even though you'll never be able to afford the earth, you get it anyways. You get to inherit the earth. You know, people are trying to get as much wealth as they can right now to what? Be the world conqueror, you know, or to dominate the world or to have it all. But you know what? They're never going to get it. And we do. And you say, well, what do I have to do, Pastor Shelley? Die. That's it. It's real easy, because then you'll get it. You're an inheritor. You already did. We're more than conquerors. Like, why can you not have joy in your life? And you say, well, some of it's going to be suffering. Okay, but at the end of the day, this is the life that God gave me, and it just gives me more opportunity to get more rewards. The more suffering I have, you know, whatever day I have, that's another day God gave me. I wasn't promised anything. Look, I didn't do anything to get a life. And when I look at the life that I have, I mean, I have four beautiful children. I have a fifth on the way. I have a gorgeous wife. I have great brethren that I get to hang out with. I love getting to come here. I mean, I have so much to be joyful about. Every single day, any of the little suffering that's going on, it's just so inconsequential. It's just something I should just totally shove out of my mind, and I should be focusing on all the joy that I should have that God gave me another day. There's always something to live for. There's always another door to go knock. And, you know, invest in other people. You know, I love the kids choir. You know, there's nothing carnal you're going to get out of that. But you know what? Investing in other people, investing in children, that's priceless. I mean, teaching other people, loving other people, investing in other people, you know, going out and getting someone saved, that's priceless. You're going to see that person in heaven, and they're not going to be high. You know? They're not going to be a derelict anymore. And you're like, they're not even going to be in vile raiment. We're all going to be wearing nice clothes. And they're going to be in good shape, and they're going to be so excited to be there with you. And we're all going to get to see Jesus. I mean, it's like, we have so much. And you say, well, Biden's president. Who cares? He doesn't know. Why don't we just forget that he's there too? Because does it really matter? I mean, how many presidents could you even name? I mean, how many people can you name that are ruling in other countries right now? I mean, does it really matter? Who really cares about any of that stuff? We get all nervous and we get all stressed out about all these things that are going to eventually be destroyed, and we'll never worry about them again. I mean, when I think about the news, when I think about social media, you know what I notice? After about 30 days, all of the news has completely been eradicated from everybody's mind. I mean, whatever they were talking about 30 days ago, nobody cares about anymore. No one's talking about anymore. It's just been completely erased. And obviously there's some things that kind of have a lingering, timeline or whatever that you kind of talk about a little bit. But it's like, eventually nobody cares anymore. And I mean, huge events. Whoever won the Super Bowl. I mean, nobody even knows. Nobody even cares anymore. Whoever was the president. I mean, we forget. We don't even remember anymore. And those are big events. All the little stuff. I mean, that really gets eradicated. Nobody cares. Nobody's interested anymore. You missed it. And you didn't miss it. You know, you didn't miss anything. And we worry and we stress about all these things. You know, you stress about meals, but you don't even remember 99% of the meals you've eaten in your life. You can't even remember 99% of your life. I mean, you have no idea what you were doing at 3 o'clock 3 weeks ago. Maybe some of the women. But I'm just saying, like, you forgot. You forgot about most of your life. You know, if I think about my life at age 5, it's like a few memories maybe. And I don't even know if it was 5. It all blends together at that age, right? Whether it was 4, 5, 6, 7. And lots of times we remember things and it's not even right. We remember our house when we were kids and it was like this giant house. And then you go look at it and it's like, that's tiny. You know, or I remember things a little bit differently than they really were, what was going on. And I say all this to say what? That we get worried and stressed about all these things that we end up forgetting about anyway. What we should really be doing is just being joyful and praising the Lord. And one of the benefits of singing psalms is it can actually give you joy because it can remind you of the eternal things. It reminds you of the things that actually matter in this world and in this life. The fact that you're saved, the fact that you're a Christian. I mean, all the other stuff in your life doesn't matter. Your clothes, what job you have, your house, your car, your relationships, they're all going to be gone. You're like, well, I have the best marriage ever and I have the crappiest marriage ever. Well, you know, eventually it'll be like neither of you were even married. That's what the Bible says. It literally says the guy that wasn't married, it'll be like no one remembers that he wasn't married. And the guy that had the greatest marriage ever, it's like he didn't remember that he was married. Because it doesn't matter. All the stuff that we worry and we stress and we have anxiety about and we have the wrong emotions about, it just doesn't matter. We just need to learn how to be joyful in the Lord. And you know, he's the one that gives us joy. He's the one that gives us strength. Look what it says in Psalms 149, verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Look at that. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with a timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful and glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. And look where he's putting the position of us singing, our bed. You know, how many times have you gotten up and just sang with all your might on your bed? But isn't that what the Bible's saying? And I'm just showing you verses in the Bible. And look, they challenge me too. It's not like I'm any different. But I think we would go through life a little bit happier if we sang a little more Psalms. What's some of the benefits of the Psalms? Being more happy. You look at people that are not happy, they're probably not singing any Psalms. Right? And the people that are happiest, you know, especially Christians, I guarantee they probably sing a lot more. I'm just telling you, you say, I need to be happier. Okay, well, sing some more Christian music. Sing more Psalms. That's one of the benefits. You want joy in your life? Sing more of God's word. Go to Psalms 32. If you find yourself in a good mood, just start singing to God and put yourself in an even better mood and start filling yourself with the Spirit of God, and maybe God will just destroy all your enemies for you. And then you can be even more excited when he's destroyed, you know, evil and wicked people. Psalm 32, look at verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Notice, we should be the people that are the most excited, the most happy people in the planet. Why? Because we're God's children. The God of the universe is our Father. He loves us. Nothing bad can happen to us, because even if you kill us, we're going to heaven. You can't destroy. Hey, every time you hurt me, it's another reward in heaven. It's like, you know, you play those video games or whatever, and you hit the person and like coins drop out. It's like, you're just like, sweet. I mean, all the suffering in this life, it's just more blessing. The Bible even says whenever we're being persecuted, we're supposed to leap for joy. We're supposed to rejoice. I mean, if we had the right mentality, and I'm just trying to be real frank here, if we had the right mentality, our only emotion would really be joy. Obviously, the Bible says to weep with them that weep. And obviously, when you have a lost one, you know, you lose a family member, you lose people, you can have a moment of sadness. But even if I lose somebody that's saved, I can still rejoice in the fact they're in heaven. He gives us hope. And so the life of a Christian should be one of constant joy, of constant being merry, of constant, you know, having all this, you know, excitement and shouting. And look, I'm not saying other emotions aren't legitimate. What I am saying is that we probably should all have more joy in our life. And how we get that benefit is through singing psalms. Go to Psalms 67. Some of these are kind of ones that we've sang and are popular. I love this psalm. I think it's a great one. It always puts me in a good mood. Look at Psalm 67. Look at verse 3. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Notice what the Bible is saying. We're supposed to be singing with joy in our hearts. You know, there's a lot more joy that we should be having, and we get that through singing the Psalms. Go to Psalms 126. And sometimes it's nice to slow down and pay attention to the words that we're singing. These words just kind of jump off the page whenever we're putting them in context. Look what it says in verse 4. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Notice, what is the benefit of singing psalms? It's joy. Hey, when you're filled with the Spirit and you're applying God's word, meaning you're wise, and he that winneth souls is wise, then what happens? And you're singing the psalm, you get joy. And what's better than joy? Isn't that what everyone's chasing after? Joy, the pursuit of happiness. It's even in our, you know, founding documents as a country. The pursuit of happiness is being something that's so important to people. And I'm like, you know, well, let me tell you how you get there. Singing psalms. That's one of the best ways to get there. Go to Proverbs 17, the last place I'm going to have you turn. Proverbs chapter 17, the last place I'm going to turn. And I try to show you this to motivate us as a church to sing more psalms in our daily life and to be encouraged to sing the psalms and embrace the psalms and, you know, teach your kids the psalms and, you know, hopefully, you know, people will put even more of them to music. And I say the more the merrier. You know, I don't even care if there's different versions of the same psalm. You know, that's great. To me, it's like, if you don't like mine, then write a better one and we'll start singing it. But until we have your version, we'll sing the inferior version, okay? But you know what? Even the inferior version gets the job done, doesn't it? And it gets that doctrine in your heart. It fills you with the Spirit of God. It still gives you that wisdom, and you can still get that joy. Proverbs 17, look at verse 22. The Bible says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." And I'm trying to make this sermon really positive. But again, when you're not doing these things, when you kind of have a bad attitude, whenever you're, you know, basically the opposite of having joy, notice what it can do. It can kind of destroy you. And look at the opposite. A merry heart is what? It's like a medicine. It's doing good unto you. It's benefiting you. And you look, we need joy in our lives. We need to have a good attitude towards this world, because look, frankly, this world doesn't have a good attitude. And it's, you ask me, it's real easy to get negative real quick. You look at our world, you look at the things that we have. Even though we have a lot of blessings, it's hard for us to truly, you know, be excited about them or appreciate them, because we're kind of on a decline. And even though you have all this great stuff, you kind of, instead of looking at it with a positive attitude, you kind of look at it as like, well, it used to be better or something, or it used to have more, or it used to have X, Y, and Z, as opposed to just realizing all of it's going away anyways, and I still have so much to be thankful for that I need to go ahead and just have a merry and a happy and a joyful spirit. And you know what that's going to do? It's going to be a good medicine unto me. You know, when you're having a hard time, when you're going through things that are difficult, whenever you have the, you know, kind of a rocky patch, let me tell you something you could do. Sing some songs. And that can be a healing medicine in your life. You know, if you're struggling every morning, maybe sing a couple extra psalms. Maybe try to put yourself in the right spirit. And, you know, maybe God will start taking out some of your enemies before you that day. So not only are you already in the right mood, he already just takes care of a lot of the battle for you, as opposed to what? Waking up, being in a bad mood, then having to fight all the battles you didn't have to fight, and then basically not having the joy. I'd rather just start singing praise to God. I get all the victories. I just get in all the spoils. And then I basically just have all the joy that comes after it. So let's be encouraged to sing more psalms in our life. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the psalms. Thank you for giving us this great book of the Bible and all these songs that we can sing. And thank you for being willing to give us victory through your strength and through your power and through your might. I pray that we'd realize all the benefits that come through singing the Word of God, and that instead of filling ourselves in this world and filling ourselves in all this excess nonsense, we would rather be filled with the Spirit of God. And we'd rather decide to fill ourselves with the Word of God and realize that we can't have enough. And that the more of God's Word that we have in our lives, the better our lives are going to be and the more joy that we can have. And I pray that you would just help all of us to have the best attitude that we possibly can in serving you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go to Psalms 15.
Actually, in response to that sermon, we're going to sing both Psalms 149 and 150 right through. Thankfully, if it's in your white songbook, it should just be a turn of the page. We're going to go smooth transition from Psalms 149 into Psalms 150.
Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen, and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God the Father. Praise God the Son. Praise God the Holy Ghost. Praise God in three persons. Amen. With that, you are dismissed.